Good evening and welcome to the special meeting of the Board of Directors of the Town of Discovery Bay CSD. At this time, I'd like to turn over staff for roll call, please.
President Still.
Here.
Vice President Graves.
Here.
Director Madison.
Here.
Director Simon.
Here.
Director Tatro.
Not here.
At this time, we'll open for public comment. The public may comment on any item on the agenda that is before the board for consideration. Any person wishing to speak must come up and speak from the podium. There will be no dialogue between the board and the commenter. Any clarifying questions from the board must go through the chair. Any public comment, please? Seeing no public comment or any public in the audience, I now close public comment and I'd like to turn this over to our legal counsel.
Thank you, Mr. President, board members. The board is now adjourning into closed session regarding action items D1 and D2. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Nice. Naughty nice. Right.
Oh dear, dear, dear.
Girl, you ready?
Yes, sir.
Good evening. I'd like to turn it over to our legal counsel.
Thank you, Mr. President, board members. The board has reconvened from closed session regarding items D1 and D2. All of the board members were present during the entirety of the closed session, with the exception of Director Tetral, who is absent tonight. Regarding item D1, there is no reportable action. Regarding item D2, following is the reported action. Addendum number 3, executed by the district, and the seller of the property was ratified by unanimous vote of the board of directors. In addition, an extension of time addendum was unanimously approved by the directors, extending the condition time to December 5th. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Schroeder. At this time, I'd like to adjourn our meeting to the regular meeting at 7 p.m. To order, and if you all rise with me, I'd like to share the Pledge of Allegiance with you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Staff roll call, please.
Okay. I'm just kidding. President, I can do it.
That would be you.
I can do it. President Chris Steele.
Here.
Vice President Kevin Graves.
Here.
Director Jim Madison.
Here.
Director Mark Simon.
Here.
Director Ray Tetro.
He's absent.
All right. Thank you very much. Now it's time for public comments. Individual public comments will be limited to a time limit of 3 minutes. During the public comment period, the public may address the board on any issue within the district's jurisdiction which is not on the agenda. The public may comment on any item on the agenda that is before the board for consideration. Any person wishing to speak must come up and speak from the podium. There will be no dialogue between the board and the commenter. Any clarifying questions from the board must go through the chair. At this time, I do have a request to speak. I guess this is about item B, so we'll wait on that. Would anybody else like to come up and comment, please? Mr. Pease, please.
I'd just like to take a second to publicly congratulate Mark and Ray on their re-election, and also congratulate Jim for actually running. It's a little difficult to put yourself out in the general public and do that, so I want to acknowledge that too.
And congratulations to you as well.
Thank you.
Congrats. Thank you. Ms. Story, please.
Good evening. My name is Danielle Story. I'm the principal of Discovery Bay Elementary, and our staff and students wanted me to bring this to you in thanks for allowing us to use the boom to take the picture, but also for all that you do for making our town such a great place to live and work.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Very much.
Good. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you for
awesome school in Discovery Bay and for being a great
school
and a leader for our kids. And we love these guys a lot, so thank you.
Thank you.
Congrats.
Hang on. There we go.
Jeez.
I don't know how to work it.
Technology.
Push the button. I know. He knows how to work. He's like the most knowledgeable person.
Oh, gives us every time with that phone, too.
Perfect. Thank you. Nice picture.
You guys see this?
Yeah, I saw it today.
Does anybody else like to have a comment? At this time, we will close public comment and move into item C, presentations. Staff, please.
No presentations this evening.
Okay. At this time, we'll move forward. Let's, our sheriff, please.
Good evening, everybody.
Hello.
How are you?
Good. Here, some over here. Take one and pass it on back. Should have more than enough this time. Okay, it's nice.
You can go either way, both ways.
Okay. A couple things I wanted to point out on this one. The first one is the vandalisms. I'm sure you've all heard by now. I think I mentioned it last month, but it counts as this month's stats. We had some vandalisms of mailboxes and a bunch of them. I think the final count was right around 30, if I remember correctly. For the sake of tracking purposes, we consolidated them into a few reports. So all the reports we took on each day, because they didn't all come in at once, were consolidated. So even though there were only a handful of vandalisms in this paper, there were many more, but we found that if we list each one on a separate report, every now and again, some of them tend to drift away and get lost and separated, so it's easy to consolidate. But the important thing is we were able to identify three juveniles who were responsible. All three were arrested. We're waiting court dates. I know this board wants some input into punishment when it gets there, and we still could be, depending on the court system, several months away till we get there, but I will let the board know through Mr. Howard when we get to that point where the court is going to be open to input, and then whatever it is you choose to do.
All right.
We'd get them arrested, and there'll be some kind of punishment. I don't know what it will be. It depends on their prior records and things like that. So anyway, that was good news on the vandalisms. Marine Patrol, as far as the boat, we had some problems with boat thefts of the boats as opposed to thefts from the boats. They're occurring on the water side, which makes it rather difficult for my staff to do anything about it because we're sort of landlocked with cars. Marine Patrol is trying to beef up evening hours, be out here more in the evening, also in the early morning hours. And we are working with them, some leads, some of the people that are responsible, some other things that we've been working on, some other property crimes on the land side, also have links to the water side. So we do have some leads and we're following up on it, but I don't have anything definitive at this point. I just wanted to let you know that we're not ignoring the problem. We are working on it. Marine Patrol is taking the lead, and we are following up on some things on that. There's nothing else that jumped out at me statistically. The property crime about the same from this month to last month. A little misleading in the sense that a couple of them, a couple of the vandalisms and a couple of the burglaries occurred at the same addresses, so it was on separate days, so technically we have to take separate reports, but it's all kind of related, so it's not, it kind of inflates the numbers higher than they realistically should be, but stats are roughly the same.
You got lots of towaways as well. Are these registration violations?
There are all sorts of different things. Several of them, let me see where the tows. We don't list the sections. I know two of them were 72-hour violations where if you've seen the deputies put a yellow tag on the vehicle and if it sits for 72 hours without being moved, you tow it away. So I know two of them were that, and I believe the other two were registration violations. And then there were some additional tows that don't show up on the stats because for us to tow anything, there has to be some kind of number, a license plate, a VIN, if it's a boat, a CF number, or a HIN, a hull identification number. If there's no number, we can't tow it because we can't put it into our system. So it's then treated as abandoned property, and then code enforcement comes out and tows it or takes it away as trash, if you will. So there were a couple of other ones that showed up on here that were boats, that were abandoned boats, but we couldn't find any identifiable numbers. They had all been removed. So they were also removed, but as as abandoned property as opposed to a tow vehicle. So they're doing a good job. We also have a ranger started Monday, as a matter of fact, Sheriff Ranger, which is a uniformed person who can do parking enforcement, tows, and can also take what we call cold paper, which means reports where we don't have a suspect on scene, so there's no danger, no risk. So part of his job when he's not taking cold paper is to be out addressing these issues. So he'll be out tagging cars, towing vehicles, doing those sorts of things in the community. Now he is assigned to all of Delta Station, not just Discovery Bay, but he will be spending time out here as well.
Just a young man drives a little Ranger pickup truck.
No, that's a student worker. We have the Sheriff's Office has a program
just
that
because he's a Ranger doesn't mean he's in a Ranger.
Yeah. Good point. I was thinking of that. No, we have a student worker program where high school students in their junior and senior year and college students in their freshman and sophomore year can be employed as student workers. We give them some basic law enforcement type training, and they go out and do parking enforcement. They work special events. They do special projects, and then they also do parking enforcement. So he's the one that you saw tagging cars, towing cars, doing that sort of thing as well. So it's a good program. You know, it's a good for those young people interested or think they might be interested in a law enforcement career. Gets their foot in the door, gets them some experience. They're getting paid at the same time. See if they like it, and then hopefully they go into the profession. So that's who you saw.
Yeah.
So he's out here 1 day a week. He floats all over the county, so we get him 1 day a week. But the Ranger's here 4 days a week. So we'll get a little more.
Yep. AJ, I didn't see anything on here. You talked about the marine theft, but I didn't see that on here.
The boats being stolen?
Yeah. Do you know about how many and what?
There are five.
What bays?
There are five. I don't know the days. There were five.
Bays, not days. The bays.
Oh, the bays.
Yeah.
No, I don't.
But it's over off of Newport side?
I believe it's off of the Newport side, but I don't know the base. I didn't. Marine Patrol took the report, so I apologize. I don't have
okay.
any details on that. They did tell me there were five. That I know that much.
Now,
and most of the boats are recovered. The boats are stolen, stripped, and
yep.
the boats are set adrift, and then they've been recovering the boats. That's been the MO so far.
Do they think it's tied up with the Bethel Island boats that are being stolen?
Yes. That's what we're working on at this point, yes. I think so. And we're sharing information. Well, we're all the same department, so
right.
we're sharing information, and they're working some leads on that. They've got two people identified as possible suspects, but there's not enough to move on yet.
Right.
What are they taking? Speedboats?
I'm not a boat person, but I think you'd call them bass boat fishing boats.
Oh, yeah.
The smaller.
Yeah.
They're not like with tows to for people to water ski.
Yeah,
on.
Bass boats are expensive.
They're the smaller ones with the lower motors and electric motors and stuff. That seems to be what's taking, but we had a photograph of one that was recovered. It looked pretty nice. It was all detailed special paint and all that, so I'm guessing it was a pretty nice one. But that seems to be what they're taking. They strip them out of electronics and the motors. And I'm assuming they take the smaller ones because the motors are easier to remove and lighter. Obviously, the ski boats have enormous motors, a little harder to strip
off. What they were doing with the ski boats is they were just taking out the $20,000 speakers and amps and all that stuff, and then just setting the boat, but that's not what they're doing with this one.
No, this one seems to be more the bass boats.
Okay.
They are taking the electronics out, the
yep.
fish finders and those sorts of things, but
right.
That seems to be the bass boats this time.
Okay.
So they are working that, just not definitive leads that we can follow up on at this point, or that we can really act on.
One of those boats floated up to my dock a couple weeks ago on a Sunday morning, and Marine Patrol came, and the motor was stolen, and everything inside was missing.
And all this data that you present every month to us, do you guys use like analysis and look for hot spots in the area as
yes.
far as mapping and targeting neighborhoods?
Yes. One of the jobs of the Disco Bay resident deputies is to keep an eye on that. And they're not trained necessarily as experts in crime analysis, but if they notice either a large number of crimes or same streets are coming up over again, what we do is we have crime analysts in Martinez. And so what we do is we make a call to them, and John Rock has been doing that recently. He calls over and says, hey, I'm noticing a hot spot. Can you run an analysis? They do the full thing, send it back out to us, and then that gives us information to act on. So they do, yes, we do that.
All right.
But we route it through Martinez first.
Any other questions?
Nope.
All right, well, we really appreciate it. And thank you for the traffic patrol for the kids Halloween parade.
Well,
that
no
was
problem.
Great.
It looked like I was stuck in one spot, so I didn't get to see the whole thing, but it looked like it was a nice turnout and nice
yeah.
event. So
hundreds. That
good.
Was great.
Good.
Thank
All
you
right.
for
Thank
having
you.
Thanks,
the Highway Patrol, please.
My name's Eric Brewer with the California Highway Patrol. This is my first time coming to the Disco Bay MAC. But I'm on the CRT team with Officer Godman, who recently transferred, so I'm taking his position over out here in Discovery Bay. I'm very familiar with the area. I've been working in concert with him out here for about 10 or 11 years now, so I know all the problem spots. I've been working out here a long time. And I've been to the other MAC meetings, and I'm sure your concerns are the same as most of theirs in regards to traffic enforcement. The only stats I was able to pull were the arrest stats, and we made 3 DUI arrests here in Discovery Bay last month, and that was in Discovery Bay, not Highway 4, not, you know, down on J4 or Marsh Creek, right here in Discovery Bay. One was out of a traffic collision. It was a very, very minor one, where they just sideswiped the parked car kind of thing. But I'm going to try to have all the stats for you the next time I come, traffic collisions, tickets, and stuff like that. I have to rely on other people for that stuff, so sometimes I can't get it all. But the arrest I can get myself, I just go through the book. Mm-hmm. But I worked out here today. I wrote 22 tickets, and I split those between Newport, Clipper, Disco Bay Boulevard, and Corner Timber. I don't know if you would consider that yours. But sure. The people speeding out there all live in Discovery Bay. So
it's all speeding or speeding and stop sign?
All speed today. Not one stop sign. Every single ticket was speed except for one was tinted windows.
Right.
There's a lot of speed racing to the schools in Brentwood. So from like 7:30 till about 8:30, it seems like I know it's not quite our area, but Point of Timber and Balfour, those are high speed areas.
You know, there's a lot of high speed areas out here, and I try to split my time accordingly. But and it's always the same times everywhere in the whole county during the morning commute hours, then the morning school drop off, and then the same thing in the evening, and in the same spots for that matter too. The good thing about me being on your CRT team, where I have the flexibility of going and adjusting my shift hours too. So I work day shift some days, I work evening some days. So I get both ends of the commute for you and the school pickup and drop off times as well. And I'm sure as Officer Godman explained to you, we're on the CRT team, which is different. You only have one beat officer out here for the CHP, and he has from the Lone Tree all the way out here. So he has to split his time accordingly too. So your service out of him isn't going to be as good as from me. Whereas I have the whole county, but I dedicate, you know, at least a day, sometimes 2 or 3 days a week just to out this direction.
Were you on scene for that recent Vasco accident last
night? No, but I know about it. The deceased were not Discovery Bay residents. One was Brentwood. One was San Leandro, one was San Ramon, and the other was, I want to say, Stockton. There were two fatals same day within an hour of each other.
Oh, wow.
Mm.
One Basco, one on J4, down by North Front.
Oh,
both head on?
No, the J4 one was somebody making a left turn in front of someone. The one on Basco was a head on.
I pulled up to that when it happened.
Basco was starting, we had a major... it wasn't a fatality, but it was about as close as you can get to one. Six car started off as a head-on, then the other cars came into it about 3 weeks ago. That one was a person texting on their cell phone. We were able to prove that, so she's going to be prosecuted for that accordingly. And the most recent one on Basco, they speculate he may have fallen asleep, but we'll probably never know that. But we're out there doing our best with the short staffing we have. But any concerns you guys ever have, you just let me know. You can call the CHP office, make a traffic complaint, and it will get to me. And if that happens, I always call the person back in person and let them know what we're doing about it. It won't be that day, obviously, but I always get back to the people that call. So.
Thank you.
You guys have had a ton of coverage on Balfour. My office is down there. I see one or two of you guys there every night. It's like a parade.
Well, It's either myself.
On Marsh Creek, I'm sorry, Marsh Creek.
Okay, it's either myself and the guy that works out here, or during shift overlap times, but there'll never be more than that many at any one time. But we're working Marsh Creek heavy now because we're kind of worried it's going to become like the old Basco was, because now everyone's using that as the commute route to get to and from. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to hammer the enforcement out there to keep everything down.
I found myself looking at my speedometer.
Sure.
Nice wide road. So, yeah. All right. Okay, you guys have any questions?
Nope.
Well, thank you very much for all your service, and we're glad to meet you.
You're welcome, and we'll see you next month.
All right.
Thank you.
Enough fire district tonight.
He's coming out right now.
That's why he's last tonight.
Perfect. Fire report, please.
Hello, I'm Battalion Chief Burris for East Contra Costa Fire with the October monthly fire report. Uh, 56 medicals for the month of October, 7 structure fires, 0 vehicle fires, 2 vegetation fires, 2 dumpster fires, 6 automobile accidents, 4 fire alarms, 3 hazardous conditions, 1 smoke investigation, 0 odor investigation, 1 illegal burn, and 1 public service. And the highlights would be the airplane crash, with the twin dual fatalities, numerous accidents on Vasco. We've then had a slew of fatalities throughout the district, and several structure fires, including a commercial fire. We're starting to transition into winter weather. As it becomes cold, people are starting to have fires in their fireplaces. Please open up your flue. Prevents the house from filling up with smoke. The neighbors won't dial 911 when the smoke comes rolling out your front door. Also, fires in your fireplaces. If you've got a traditional fireplace that actually can have a fire in it, make sure you get your flue clean. If you live in a newer home that's got a tin tube or a triple wall tin tube, that is not a fireplace. That is a smoke exhaust for a gas fire. It is not designed to have wood logs, Presto logs, or anything other than burnt gas in it. If you decide that you're going to do that, you run the risk of catching your house on fire. If you figure you're going to circumvent that fire by cleaning or having somebody clean that, that is a triple wall tin tube, and now you're paying somebody a couple hundred bucks to stuff a big broom vigorously up and down inside of it, which then knocks that tin tube loose. You have a fire in the fireplace, that chimney box fills up with superheated smoke and gases and catches your house on fire. And then we show up and we do what we do.
You know, you don't have a chance to do the turkey. We don't have another meeting before Thanksgiving. You might want to do your traditional Thanksgiving presentation also.
Oh, okay. As we rapidly approach Thanksgiving, some of you are thinking how delicious a deep-fried turkey is. Please do that outside in the driveway. Do not do it in the house. Do not do it in the garage. Do not do it out back on the deck, which everyone in Discovery Bay has a deck that has been built probably at least 10 years ago. Because if you knock that fryer over, you will catch that deck on fire. If you have that in the house, you will catch the ceiling on fire. If you have it in the garage, you will catch the garage on fire. If you're going to do it, please do it in your driveway, the front driveway. Please do not drop a frozen turkey in a preheated deep fat fryer.
How come?
Things get really exciting. You're running, you're screaming, it gets knocked over, and then the house is on fire. It's not, all seriousness aside, we've been there, we've done that. If you do clean out your fireplace, put the residual waste in a tin bucket, soak it down, and let it soak for at least 2 weeks. Do Do not throw it in your plastic garbage can and then put that garbage can next to your house. You will catch the house on fire. Some of you are thinking, oh, what does he know? He looks 15 and the side of my house is stucco. Well, when that plastic 55-gallon garbage can catches on fire, it will release enough BTUs, that's a unit of heat, that it will heat the nails up that are attached the siding to your house into your 2x4s, and they will act as heat sinks, and you will burn the inside of your house down. Even if it's sprinklered, you'll have fire in your walls, which then we show up and we rip your house apart. I know I'm just full of holiday cheer.
All of your stories end up with a house burning down. I don't understand. Yeah. It never has a happy ending.
Yes.
British thermal unit.
Yes. Oh, I knew I didn't want to get
too technical.
Yeah,
thank you.
Shouldn't deep fry a turkey in a motorhome either.
Yes, yes. Trailer home, yes. Modular home, any, yeah. Outside in the driveway. Does anybody have any questions? Mm-hmm. Have I missed anything?
How's the district, the hiring process going?
We put out in notices for to hire off the displaced firefighter list. We had 10 applicants. Three of them we were sending the backgrounds. We're getting ready to test off of an open list where basically anybody who wants to apply, as long as they have the minimum qualifications, can apply. We are bringing back our employees, 7 of our employees or 8 of our employees that we laid off. I don't know, that will be, you know, news to come from the fire chief. Contra Costa County Fire did lose Measure Q. The dramatic effect, 51%. They needed 2/3, so there will be some effect on our fire district because they will be closing down fire stations. If there are only so many fire stations in the county and there's a significant incident, whether it's out here or somewhere else, it will mean have an effect on our fire organization.
How many personnel short are you guys after hiring 7 back? How many?
Well, it depends how many fire stations you want to have. If we hire a 7 or 8 back, we'll be able to staff one more station, and I think we'd like to be at a 5-station model.
I think there is a total of, he wants to bring 18 back, isn't it?
Yeah.
27 slots, but 18 actual individuals.
Yeah, and that's up to the fire chief, so
right.
That's
what we talked about.
Yeah.
Obviously not Monday, but the month before.
But there's a lot that can happen that will affect that number.
Good. All right, well, thank you for your service.
Thanks, Chief.
Thank you.
All right, have a safe evening.
No questions.
Karen Cornell wasn't able to be here tonight, so let me just give you a quick update from the Board of Supervisor. They're having a Veterans Day celebration on Tuesday, November 13th at 11 a.m. at the County Admin Building down at 651 Pine Street in Martinez. Also, the Department of Boating and Waterways has received an extended permit for a treatment of water hyacinth through November 30th, 2012. So that's the update from the supervisor. At this time, I'd like to move forward with item F, consent calendar.
I move that we accept the consent calendar as written.
I'll second.
Any public comment? Seeing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
That is 4 yay. Yeah, slow down. Okay, at this time I'd like to move to item G, public hearing to consider. Yeah. Opening public hearing. Staff.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. This item was before you last month in a little bit of a different configuration. This was the capacity fee report and fee structure that the board adopted back on October the 3rd when you adopted resolution number 2012-23. Subsequent to that meeting, one of the things that we discussed was if there was a change, we might need to bring it back to you if additional information became available. And it was noted after the meeting that there were some missing components in the capacity fee study that needed to be included in there. Those changes are identified and they are underlined in the chart located on the front page of the agenda report. Essentially, they are the original fees were adopted back in 2004 that were the result of improvements that were constructed in our water and wastewater plant that were done after the Hoffman Company's initial construction of those plants were completed. Those were improvements that we as a district went in and put into place. Those capacity fees at the time were $297 on the water side and $2,789 on the wastewater side for a total of $3,086. What we missed at this last meeting, and we're bringing back tonight to adopt the resolution and to rescind resolution 2012-23 and to adopt resolution 2012-28 is to accurately account for those EDU counts in those capacity fees that only affect the Hoffman Company's projects in Discovery Bay West. There are 284 EDUs that will be charged the original capacity fee from 2004 of $297 on the water side and $2,789 on the wastewater side. Once they breach that 284, the water EDUs that were adopted, that will be readopted this evening of $3,900 will then trigger into place. However, the Hoffman Company still has 621 committed EDUs on the wastewater side. And so for those first 621 EDUs, they will still be charged the $2,789. Once they hit the 621 limit, the proposed fees that were identified in the Bartlewells capacity fee study report will be fully implemented at that time for the total of $13,760. Again, this only affects those projects in the Hoffman, in the Discovery Bay West project development. So this evening, what staff is asking to do is to rescind resolution 2012-23 and adopt resolution 2012-28.
Go ahead, Vice President.
What was the delta on that? What changed? What numbers changed that we're rescinding?
If you look at the chart that's on the agenda report that has the EDU counts on it,
uh-huh.
The numbers that are underlined initially read zero.
Okay.
Nothing.
Any comments? Does the public have any comments or input, please? Mr. Lennon.
Good evening. I'm David Lennon with Hoffman Land Development Company. I have a letter here, actually two letters. One is the letter we submitted the previous time in protest, and then a cover letter just outlining some of our concerns with some of the more recent modifications. We talked last time, hopefully we're gonna be able to work together, and it's kind of went the wrong way in the interim. There's another maybe $3 million plus in fees to be paid. And that's another issue. It said that additional income was coming from these new category of fees isn't recognizing the overall revenue side of things. So there's additional revenue beyond what your place included in the original report, so that there was no corresponding addressing of the fee to other parties besides these things that we've called the first 284 and the first 337. So I have a letter here, and I'll submit that for your consideration.
Thank you.
Jeez. It's a meeting.
Circus. Try not.
I hope my back listen. I'm just kidding.
Is there any other public comment or input, please? At this time, I'm going to close public hearing.
Yeah, let's work here and start to get it.
the UR?
No, wait, go ahead.
Hold on, I'm reading.
This has nothing to do with the motion. This is all separate.
As you are perusing that document, I did have a conversation with Bartles and Wells this afternoon on that last item that Mr. Lennon brought up. And it's their assessment that the pre-fee study, that the pre-fee study committed capacity needs to be charged the earlier fees as determined by their existing contractual arrangements that were already in place before the Bartlewell study. And so they believe that the study is solid. They presented the document to you on two different occasions. And when I brought this to their attention a month or so ago, they were acknowledging that it needed to be corrected, as well as the fact that the methodology that went into the development of the new fee is accurate.
Motion? I'll make a motion. I'll make the motion that we rescind resolution 2012-23 and adopt resolution 2012-28, amending capacity charge fee program.
I'll second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 That'll be four ayes. Moving on to new business, item H, staff.
The item before you this evening back in 2004, the board adopted resolution number 2004-08, establishing ECC Bank as an alternative depository of the county. If you recall, the community services districts have two options when it comes to appointing a treasurer of their district. One is to hire a treasurer and go through a fairly cumbersome process, and the other is to utilize the county treasurer for that function. We have chosen to do the latter. We do not have a treasurer on staff, but what the law also allows is for a district, a community services district, the ability to have an alternative depository of funds so that smaller transactions can take place so that the business of the district can continue. And the district had limited that account to $40,000 and no more than $5,000 at any one time. Last year, Senate Bill 288 was passed, and it's incorporating government code section 53952 that allows for 110% of 1/12 of the district's adopted budget for that fiscal year can be established into a revolving fund. For our district for fiscal year 2012-13, that amount would be $763,000. Currently, the ECC Bank has a revolving fund account balance of $621,000. Prior to the district's initiation of water billing, that $40,000 and $5,000 transactions was adequate in order to conduct the day-to-day business of the district. However, now that we're receiving approximately $30,000 monthly in ratepayer receipts that are billed directly by the district, and not through the county property tax process, that we, at $5,000, we cannot move the money fast enough, and the account continues to build up. So what staff proposes is to amend or rescind that initial resolution, adopting a new resolution that would allow the board would authorize the board to make payments up to $100,000 at a time. And there's a reason why staff recommends that, and I'll get to that in a moment. I've also given an option that if the board does authorize that, that if they did need to authorize a payment in excess of $100,000, that it come back before the board as a singular unilateral action of the board, not as part of the regular warrant process, but as a regular agenda item that would require board action. The process will not change as it currently does. All we're recommending is for the limits to increase. It will still require two signatures for check signing as it currently does. The reason why we selected $100,000 is for the fact that our current contract with Veolia is approximately $98,000 a month. And we felt that it would be appropriate to at times pay down this balance and leave the money in account with the county. And so we would be able to utilize this fund in order to do so, to pay that account down on an occasional opportunity. So if we have $600,000 in the bank right now, we could pay a few months without having to go through the county, and our reserves would still stay, our monies would still stay at the county. This just allows us to draw down that balance and to be in conformity with state law. So our relationship with ECC Bank would not change. They would still continue as our alternative depository, and this would basically just reaffirm that relationship. And that's what we're proposing this evening. If you have any questions.
I have none.
Nope.
Questions? Any questions? Does the public have any comments or input, please? No comments.
I'd make a motion that we rescind resolution 2004-08 and adopt resolution 2012-29.
Is there a second? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
That'll be 4-aye.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. The next item this evening on the agenda is to purchase the fourth UV module for the Trojan UV system down at the wastewater treatment plant number 2. If you recall, we have two UV systems in place with two channels. One channel is referred to as a UV 3000 system. It is a little bit of an older system, but still a viable and marketable program by Trojan. The other is an upgraded system. It's a Trojan 3000 Plus, and that's what we recently completed approximately 2 years ago. Each of the channels is a redundant system for the other. So if one needs to go down for cleaning, if the channels need to be cleaned, they need to be maintained, if we need to pull the lamps out for servicing, we can still run the other channel and be compliant with our NPDES permit, our state water requirements. The fourth module. Without the fourth module, we would not be able to meet those requirements, and the master plan recommended that the fourth module be included in the to be included and installed down at the plant, allowing for a complete redundancy. If we do not meet the requirements, we would have to bypass. We do have the bypass pipeline down there. We can bypass into the lagoons. This just provides us the UV protection, 100% of the protection in order to do so without violating. So that's the proposal for this evening. The amount is for a total amount of $148,000, and that includes the purchase of the bank as well as the programming of the PLCs for just under $18,000. This project was included in the master plan and is also included in the list of capital projects. And it is a budgeted item, and this item came before the board, I believe, on October the 3rd as part of one of the budget amendments we brought to you. So we're looking forward to moving this project forward.
Any comments?
No comments. Just for clarification, Rick, I think you said this, but this money's coming out of the bond money?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah, we already had this discussion.
All right. Any public comment or question or input?
Just so that I could come up to speed a little bit. You got programming, I understand program at $10,000, but a site visit at $7,600. How many people have to participate in this program?
That's typically it's one person. It is the person is generally here for over a week programming. They come from out of state. I believe this gentleman comes in from Utah. He's here for an entire week programming, puts all the programming in place. Trojan UV is a proprietary product. That's the product that the district has chosen to go with. And so we are, unfortunately, at times subject to their requirements. And in order also to maintain the reliability of the warranties, they require using their technicians. We can use our own technicians, but then we violate the warranty is then invalidated.
Correct. So this is meals, lodging, travel for a week.
And labor for a week, yes.
Time, yeah. What about after the fact? Is our staff able to tweak if it needs, or do you have to bring a fellow back out?
They come out approximately once a year for major reprogrammings where they need to take place. We try not to get them out. They can come in through the back door, essentially through the internet, and do some of the programming that way, and that takes place.
Right.
But there are times when we just have to have somebody on site.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comment? Our public comment is closed. Unless somebody would like to make a motion.
I would like to make a motion that we authorize the purchase of the Trojan UV 3000 module, not to exceed, including all costs of $148,134.33.
I'll second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Four ayes.
Thank you. The next item before you this evening, I'm going to hand off to Farron Perez, our Parks and Landscape Manager, to give this report.
Last month I came and presented some possible ideas for an Earth Day project and which included a demonstration garden and Veterans Memorial at Slifer Park. A lot of those details of the projects were not very clear at the time. We just had some groups in town who were very willing and supportive of working with us to make these projects come to fruition. President Steele and Vice President Graves, thank you for volunteering to meet with myself and that group to kind of come together and work on the details of that project so that we could come back again tonight with a recommendation. We did have two meetings which occurred on October 25th and October 28th with the group, members of the board and myself. One here in the office and one on site. We discussed site locations, the project scope and scale, timelines, budgets, fundraising opportunities. Together, we kind of more tightly defined that the memorial project would not be considered a full veterans memorial, but a Blue Star Memorial, which is what the Garden Club was supporting. The Blue Star Memorial Project was started in 1945 by the National Garden Club. They are markers that are placed on highways and byways. Our local garden club received approval from the National Garden Club to place one of these markers within our community, and they would like it to place in one of our parks. We still believe that Slifer Park would be a great location. You're looking at a map on the TV there of Slifer Park, an overview. The highlighted yellow half circle is the area that we identified as the best place within the park to put this memorial. There's some pictures of what these look like, and they're typically smaller memorial sites. They're more serene. They're there for meditative reasons. You go, and it's more of a garden than an actual what you would see with a veterans memorial with lots of different pillars and flags. You know, this is concentrated. It's a garden project also. So combining the Blue Star Memorial with the Earth Day project seemed to work because we could do the gardening aspect. It allowed us ways to promote fundraising and volunteers and to get this project done with the least minimum fiscal impact on that zone. We did do a preliminary budget, although we do not have a design fully sketched out yet. The preliminary budget, that's a 2,200 square foot area. The budget is not anticipated to exceed $15,000. We are asking that we approve that amount with the understanding that their pledge and our pledge to work together with the Earth Day Project is that we're going to try to find as many volunteers and fundraising opportunities as we can to pay for this project. So while that's the maximum cost, we want to, you know, make this a community project, something that would either, you know, at the end be fully covered or at least most of the way, as much as we can. This also still belongs to the county, this park, so the final project approval will still belong with them. Getting your approval and your buy-in on the project helps move that along a little faster. So are there any specific questions on that?
Would you guys come up with when you...
It was very interesting. We agree 100%. Oh, I'll speak for myself. Sorry, Chris. I agree 100% with the methodology and the thought process behind it. I think it's going to be an addition. I think it's going to be a great Earth Day project. You'll get the community involved, bring awareness up with regards to some of the sacrifices that are made by individuals in our nation for their country. And I think it's great. And I applaud the Garden Club for wanting to step up and contribute to the community. So for me, it was a win-win.
Yeah, I think it's a great collaboration opportunity with the Discovery Garden Club and the Discovery Lions Club, or the Byron Delta wanted to get involved. So I thought that was a good, and I think to tie it in with Earth Day and what we did earlier this year for this year's Earth Day, I think that this is a nice, and it's on a good scale, that it's not this giant, and it's very concentrated, like you said. So I think it's well thought out, and it appears that minimal fiscal impact to our district, and it's a existing site that could use a little extra beauty to it. So I think it's very well recommended.
And in the spirit of last night, it's a shovel ready project.
Shovel ready.
Do I see hands volunteering for Earth Day?
To check my calendar.
That goes for you folks out.
We got your painting
well.
Signs for Earth Day last
we
year.
We did. Yeah. We were out here painting away.
It's pretty fun. So,
what are you looking for tonight?
I am looking for the approval of the budget that we're putting forward and the project itself, so that we could take your vote to the county to get their final approval on the project as well.
Can I ask a legal question? I'm looking at the agenda and it doesn't show that it's for a vote. It just shows that it's just a discussion. Can we vote on this?
It says authorized staff.
The recommended action is authorized staff to proceed with the Earth Day.
Are you looking at 88?
It's under H3. Item H is new business and action items.
Okay. Any other comments?
No
questions? All right. Any public comment, please? Close public comment. I have a motion.
I guess it's motion day for me today. I would make a motion that we authorize staff to proceed with the Earth Day Blue Star Memorial Project with a budget not to exceed $15,000.
I'll second it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Four ayes. Thank you very much, Farron.
Thanks, Farron.
Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board, members of the public. The item I'm bringing before you at this time is to discuss the Discovery Bay Athletic Club site and the future facility operational considerations that staff is working towards, but would like to gain board concurrence before we move too far down that process. As the board is aware, and I'm certain the public is aware, we're in a three-party transaction at this point in time to purchase 10 and a quarter acres of the Discovery Bay Athletic Club parcel and the corner parcel, which are two parcels, the total of 10.24. There's a lot line adjustment that will be taking place that will divide the parcel into two separate parcels, one for the church, the Delta Community Presbyterian Church's benefit, and the remaining parcel for that of the district. Staff has been on site a number of times to the athletic club. There's a number of items that need to take place there due to neglect in some cases, landscaping, painting, electrical work. There are also, I've been on the map on the screen before you, there's a red line that I've drawn in, and the red line that parallels the tennis court and drops down to where the perpendicular, almost to the right backhand side of the swimming pool. Staff would recommend that we fence that area off to the public and not allow the public back there for safety considerations. There are some concrete walkways that have separated and the vertical gaps in those, some of the sidewalks are 4 or 5, in some cases approximately 6 inches, and felt that the trip hazards were more extensive to repair than just to fence off. And since the future plan is to renovate that entire site, we felt that it would be prudent to separate that portion of the site from public access. We have obtained a facility inspection report, received that over the weekend. I'm going through that right now. Our electrician that we contract with is in the process of providing an estimate to me as to what the electrical costs might be. I believe that the electrical components will be the most critical component there. Painting, landscaping, relatively straightforward, but the electrical could be problematic. I don't know that for a fact, just the fact that I've been out there and seen it, and I know Directors Madison and President Steele have been there as well, and they've seen it for themselves. Staff is working towards the development of a request for qualifications to obtain a operation company, someone that can come in and operate the club on our behalf, similar to our contract that we have with Veolia. We own the land, we own the facilities, they just operate them for us. Currently, they have approximately 279 members. I mentioned that their revenues they generate from that are noteworthy, because I don't know that they're high or low. They're in the $17,000 a month range. I have a copy of their expense reports for the last 4 years, as well as current up through September 30th of this year. The way that they do their expense reports is a little difficult to ascertain what really goes into them and what doesn't go into them. We believe we can do some things more efficient than they can just by the nature of the type of business that we are. For example, the landscaping. The community center committee believes that with some modest improvements, with a modest budget that we have not determined, that we can continue to operate the athletic club in a into the foreseeable future for as a separate enterprise of the district, handing over the keys, if you will, to a third party contractor to run the operation on our behalf. So that's where we're at tonight. I'm looking for board consensus and direction so that staff would continue to move forward in that direction. Or if that's not the direction the board wants staff to move into, then we would need to know that before we get too far down the road.
First of all, I am absolutely dead against us running an athletic club. We're not a management company. We are not adept at running a business. We've got a building that's in total disrepair. I've lived here since 83. That athletic club has changed hands so many times it has never made money, no matter who ran it. The building is electrically a disaster. It has issues from one end to the other, and you would become their landlord in there, no matter who you put in. Whether it brings home $17,000 a month or not, you're going to spend $10,000 for a management company, and you're going to spend another $20,000 a month trying to keep the building up. To go in there and renovate that building, paint it, landscape it, wire it, and then 2 years from now tear it down and build a community center makes no sense. I believe if we end up closing escrow on the land, we should shutter that building, fill the pool, fence it off, and close it, and let it sit there until we build a community center. That's my feeling.
Any comments, questions, input?
My statements aren't quite as concise as Director Simon's are, as usual, but a couple of suggestions that I would have and a couple of questions. First of all, electrical is a big issue, and I know from some comments that I've heard from the other board member, it was actually at the, it's been through the walkthrough, a big part of the electrical issue, I believe, is the tennis court lights. They're having some issues with and going on and off. But anyway, there's electrical issues. If it's that big of a deal, I'd rather than just depend on what we get as an estimate from our guy, I think we maybe should get some bids on it if we intend to do something with it, intend to bid that, rather than just bring in Greg and say, here, go to work. That way we get a better idea, a more secure number. Who takes the risk? If we bring in a third party to run it, do they pay us whatever? Are they taking the risk on the loss, or are we taking the risk on the loss? Are we saying to them, hey, it costs us X dollars to keep the doors open, to maintain it, to provide the electricity, provide the heat, to provide the landscaping, and obviously I don't think the mortgage is an issue, but if this is what it costs us, this is what you're going to pay us, whatever you can do with it over and above that is yours, or are we saying, here's what it's worth. So, you know, I think you're probably not ready to answer that question. I'm not asking for an answer right now. I'm saying these are things I think you need to bring back. I would like to see brought back to the board. And if that's the case, what profit margin will it operate on to make it lucrative? I mean, you're talking about interviewing people, and I'm not sure we have these questions answered. Maybe we do, but I haven't. This is our first real chance to talk about this in an open forum. I know there's been some discussion within the committee, but now that it's before the board, I think there needs to be a lot more information and more absolutes, you might say, brought to the board so we know what we're stepping into. That would be, and there's some numbers coming to us that will help with some of this immediately. The pool is inspected. Fill it, leave it open. You know, I mean, all these. There's a lot of questions out there, and I just don't know that we're ready to take any action on this here tonight.
Yeah, we did have the pool inspected as well from a commercial pool inspector. I have not received that report yet.
Right.
I will say that Dean and I have been diving into these numbers, and I know that President Steele and Director Madison have seen them as well with respect to the financials. And there's a lot of question marks that we have. With respect to the electrical, which I think is the spider web that's in there, in terms of that, I just had asked Greg Hubley, our contractor that we use for our electrical work, just to give me an estimate. At least it gives me a ballpark. If it's, is it 10,000, is it 100,000? I have no idea at this point in time. And so if the numbers come in and things are reasonable, there can be some room to move. For example, the landscaping, they currently utilize a landscape company and they pay $1,600 a month for it. We've already gotten a bid from one of our contractors for $1,200 a month, and Farron has given me an in-house bid if we did the work internally for $800 a month. So that's a 50% savings right there if we were to use our in-house resources for that. I'm not sure that's something that we want to go down, but it's certainly a consideration. With respect to some of the other numbers, we have questions out to their bookkeeper, their financial people, to try and find out what some of the answers to those questions are. We don't have them all yet at this point in time, but I'm just looking forward to know, am I headed in the right direction or am I not headed in the right direction?
Yeah, I think, Community Center Committee and staff, we're exploring the options of, of shuttering the building or exploring the options of operating, and we're kind of in a information gathering right now. It's really early to say, what do the numbers look like for both options, and so it's kind of early. What we're asking tonight is just, can we continue exploring, gathering information and taking a closer look at that and what it looks like if we were to keep an athletic component of the community center a part of that property, or should we just stop right here and make a hard decision?
Well, I think it'd be silly to stop right here. I think there's going to be two questions that we'll need to ask and have answers for. One of the questions is, how much is it going to cost us just to keep the doors open, with the electrical, and if we choose to do the pool or put a coat of paint on it? So you've got those hard costs, and then you're going to have to fit. Then we're going to have to figure out if it is operating. Once Rick gathers all the numbers, is it operating at a loss? Is it a profit? How much of a loss? Then the other question is going to be, if there's 279 members, if you brought it up, 50 members or 100 members, would it be a break even at that point in time? So I think those are the kind of the questions that staff is looking for. In a direction, and that would be my direction, to still gather all those numbers and then come back to the board and say, here's where we're at when we have them all.
Go ahead, Kevin. Let me just, I did some quick math, and it looks like they're charging about $60 membership a month. Is that what it is? And but I would also throw out another suggestion, and that is that the one thing I know that's pretty active in that club and pretty dedicated to what they do, and there isn't any place close for them to do that, is the tennis area of it. And I would look at how many of those members are tennis memberships and whether it'd be possible to keep a tennis club going without necessarily keeping the whole. I mean, think outside the box, I guess is what I'm saying. Look at some options. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And maybe it'd be viable. Maybe there's 180 tennis players that want to remain members there, and just to, it doesn't cost that much to
keep the bathroom.
Keep the tennis courts going, and if you have to leave the bathrooms maintained by our maintenance people, then we do that or something. I mean, I'm just throwing it out there. I don't know if that's a solution. I'm just saying that there might be something to look at on a smaller scale. Also, if in fact the building, and I haven't been in that building since Joy was 16 years old, so I don't know what it's like.
Original. Go ahead.
The tennis courts, actually, where they're situated, you could leave the tennis courts right where they're at and incorporate them into a new building. I mean, when you put the new community center, if you could keep the tennis courts. But I think you have to look at a lot of stuff there. My ex belonged there for years, and every time she came in, all the equipment's dated. A lot of it's broken. You got to look at the age of the building. Nothing's been done in that building for years. And you got to start, it's going to be like remodeling a house. You can't go to be half pregnant. You're going to have to fix the wiring. If you get people to join that gym, you're going to have to buy equipment. You're going to have to fix whatever's wrong with the outside. There's no lights on the outside. When you pull in there at night to use the gym, it's pitch black outside. There's no lights. We're a town, and we're setting ourselves up. You got people, towns have deep pockets. And when somebody falls in that parking lot, they're going to sue the town. And I don't think that we signed up as directors to become businessmen in this town and to operate a business, and I don't think we're qualified to do it. And I also really strongly believe, Rick, that I said before, to go in and remodel a building, renovate the landscaping, take care of the pool, put new equipment in, bring a manager in, and then 2 years down the road, tear the thing down when you put a community center up, is a waste of the taxpayers' money.
All valid points. I can't speak for the equipment. I'm not a member there. I know Director Madison is. I do know that they have replaced a lot of their equipment in the last couple of years. Some of it hasn't been replaced, and some of it is not in the greatest of shape. But from what I understand, a lot of that equipment has been replaced, Jim?
A lot of some of the equipment, the treadmills and all that are fairly new. The regular weight workout benches and that, they have been the new leathers been put on it, but even that's a little. I mean, a lot of that is still going to have to be up to date. I mean, you could leave it like it is. It's not like it's falling apart and there's cracks everywhere. But, you know, again, the question's going to be, do we want to entice people to come back and build it from 267 to 400, you know, for the next 2 years? I do know a lot of people have told me that if that got fixed up even a little bit, they'd come back. Because right now it is just in disrepair. It's dirty. The main thing is it's just dirty. Nobody takes care of it. So the comments to me from the... from the public are, hey, if you fixed it up, you know, a little bit, we'd come back. Because people don't want to go all the way to Brentwood if they don't have to. But they see that for the last 10 years, no one's put any effort into it at all. So it's like, well, if you don't care, we don't care.
One of the other considerations that the committee and I had discussed while we were out on site, and this isn't going to show up on the screen, but if you will, on the left-hand side, just above where this is, there's a little red box there that I've marked the line off. This little white building right there. That's currently being utilized, or was previously utilized, as a drop-in daycare when mom and dad are working out.
Where is it? Down here?
Right here.
Oh, really?
Right there.
Yeah.
Where they would exercise, they would bring their children and drop them off at the drop-in daycare. And then the portion immediately to its right and below the swimming pool.
So we're looking at here and here.
Correct. Those two parcels, actually, we believe would fit quite well as a temporary interim dog park. You have the space there on the left side. It's completely fenced in for smaller dogs. The building would need to be removed, and the playset would need to be pulled out. But that's relatively minor. And on the parcel to its right, or the section to its right that has a lot of the trees there, that used to be apparently their picnic area and barbecue area. You can remove, most of the stuff's not there anymore, but there are some picnic tables that are still there. You could remove those, and with a little bit of fencing, you could have a fairly sizable dog park for the larger dogs. So we were looking at that as a benefit to the community immediately. That would provide a public benefit at no cost for the public to be able to utilize.
I think if you just shut it down without looking at the numbers, I think we're not doing our community a benefit. And I think the whole rationale about buying this land is to see about, you know, keeping it operated in one form or another. And I think just the overall, just still the number gathering is essential for that.
Yeah, so we're asking for the board for a little more time to gather some operational data. So, at this time, I'd like to open for public comment, please. Input.
I happen to believe we should explore all the options. It just whether it remains an athletic club or not, immaterial. It's a building. You could have a third party come in there and they take over. They're responsible for all the equipment, everything. A normal landlord to have an empty building in there, you do the TIs or whatever. There's some partnerships that could be made. It could be utilized in different ways, but I certainly believe you have to go through the numbers. You've got to come back and decide whether you close it or not close it based on the numbers. So there's probably more with a little bit of research, a lot more different ideas how to utilize that building other than the athletic club. The athletic club would be great. I think you could make some money out of it, but it's the cost. So I would, if I was sitting there, which someday it will be, I would urge you to go ahead and gather numbers. It's going to take some time, 2 or 3 meetings, et cetera, to finally get there, and there is time. Mm-hmm. Even coordinate with the church. Maybe they need some classroom space over there or something. I don't know if the rooms are usable or not. But, and I don't think it's 2 years. Realistically, I'm thinking 3 to 5 years before we'd have the funding to do any type of community center. So to keep that and just take a building that could be utilized, I think we have to look a 5-year period and not a 2-year period.
Okay. Thank you. Any other public comment, please?
I agree with all the comments the board and Mr. Pease have made this evening about the project. I think they're all valid and they need to be addressed. I would like to speak to the process that you're going through. The community center project with the committee came about in an enormously well done fashion. Since the first of the year, including tonight, you have had 8 closed sessions regarding the community center. Now the Brown Act says the only things that you can discuss in closed session, the only 2 things, are instructions to your negotiator on cost, and secondly, on terms of payment. In that time since the first of the year, you haven't had a single open session where any of the things in this report might have been discussed, including the decision to apparently make an offer on the property. There's no record of when the board made that decision, and there's no record that that decision was made in an open meeting so that the public could give an opinion on whether an offer on the property should even have been made. And if I understand it correctly, this document, escrow is tentatively scheduled to close in late December 2012. And if that happens, you've bought the property without answers to any of these questions, like the building inspection. My understanding of when you buy a piece of property and you have parts of that property inspected, that anything that you find wrong goes in a contingency portion of the offer to buy, so that it's determined who's going to pay for those corrections that need to be made. And this report says, apparently, you don't even have the building inspection. I think Mr. Howard mentioned that he got it over the weekend. You haven't seen it, the public hasn't seen it. And I think that we're entitled to participate in this process. Your 8 closed sessions speaks badly towards the transparency of this board. It's all being done in secret, behind the scenes. And I would implore you that from here on, you have open sessions to bring the public up to speed with what you're doing and to participate in the decisions that you need to make between now and the completion of what you're doing. And I'm flabbergasted at us getting into the activity or the athletic club business. I'm appalled at that. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment? All right, at this time I will close public comment.
I think he's got something he wants to say.
All right.
You got anything, Rick, or not?
My only comment would be that this was brought before the board in open session at the last meeting.
Right. When?
On October the 17th, item I-2.
Okay, all right. I have a motion, comments?
Final?
There's any action to take.
No action to take. I think they're at it.
I'd like to make a motion that we allow the staff to continue to gather the information, gather the numbers, so they can come back to the board at a time in the future with some more information of what we what we could or could not do that is represented with the club.
Is there a second?
Sure, I'll second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Four. Thank you. All right, we'll move on to item I, President's report and director's comments.
Directors, please. Mr. Madison?
I have nothing.
I'm make a note that I'm turning in my minutes from a school board meeting that occurred, two school board meetings ago, just because it's been so long since we had our meeting. And I just want to thank staff for our early Christmas presents that we got this morning with the new logo on our shirts, and thank you for thinking of us. I appreciate that.
All right, well, I'm glad we're past our election tonight. I want to report out on the board meeting for the Board of Trustees for the Byron Union School District. I attended on November 1st. Just a quick update, teacher Kathy Tickner was awarded basically an excellent teacher award. There was a private foundation that recognized her with the monetary. Kathy does a lot of great things in the arts and the student drama clubs, and she's a great contributor to our, a great example to our district. The Timber Point is active in a new gardening project, and these guys are out there building community gardens, and they're working with grants and getting some good activities for outdoor classroom work. There was a little bit of a reach or opportunity. The Timber Point is looking for a mulch source, so if you have any sources for mulch, it would be a great opportunity to help them. At this time, I will turn the meeting back over to staff for our manager's report.
Thank you. I've got two items this evening, and I'll segue that with a comment that we have been, the staff, our staff has been supporting the Timber Point mulch, their garden project with mulch, and I will discuss with Farron to determine whether or not they need some more. We do receive the Christmas trees at our plant, and we do mulch those, and those have all been mulched recently, so we do have some of that we can go ahead and provide to them. They don't need a lot, so that's not much of a problem. The two things I have is the next board meeting will be canceled as a result of the Thanksgiving holiday. It's the night before Thanksgiving. Our next board meeting would then be December the 5th. And a couple board meetings ago, the board authorized the purchase of a electronic signboard. That arrived this week, and we are in the process of putting it making it operational. At this point in time, that's all I have.
All right, thank you. Council, Mr. Schroeder?
Nothing, sir.
All right, thank you. You were feeling a lot better tonight. That's good. You were a little cold.
Oh, I had a bad cold.
Yeah. Any committee updates? Okay. Looks like we have some correspondence. Public records requests, tally for community center service results. We're taking care of that. Any future agenda items, Director?
No, I have none.
One, can you give us a large water user report?
It's a future item, but landscaping master plan 2013-2014, and also a update on landscaping contracts. I don't have any other agenda items for future. At this time, I'd like to adjourn the meeting in honor of all of our veterans of the United States of America.